away. For life presents us possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Sun rose high and put the night away. Who stood before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberties. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't treat me this way.
They lay dead by me. Hit them hard, we made them pay that day. We hung the traitors from the highest trees. Lost the light our pain was heavy. We sacrificed for God and country. We held the ground that was in front of me.
Are we still connected?
This was the price we paid for liberty. Still you hear me say, I'd rather die than be your slave.
Poker Face, I'd Rather Die, and oops.
I can barely hear whoever's talking.
Okay, this is me on the station here. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, this is KHEN, LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, streamed on the internet at khen.org. and where tonight's program and past programs are linked to Truth Quest archives or by typing in www.givemesometruth.info. And I have with me my co-host tonight is a new one, and is a great lady named Katie O'Brien. And my guest tonight is Terry Hall with the San Antonio, Texas Toll Party. Okay, let's see if I've got this. Is everybody there?
Yes.
Okay, great. And getting into a little bit about Terry, is the founder and director of the San Antonio Toll Party.com and Texas Uniting for Reform and Freedom, TURF. Terry grew up in the Silicon Valley, earned a BA in English from UCLA, where she was also drawn to political science, particularly how the media impacts politics. While there, she also received the Chancellor's Service Award for outstanding commitment to philanthropy. She and her husband have found their niche as business owners and chose Texas as the place to plant roots. Terry's a mother of six children whom she educates at home. When she saw the door open to unlimited new taxation without accountability to voters through the statewide toll mandate without a vote of the people, Terry was pressed into service, and now she serves as the founder director of what's been dubbed a taxpayer revolt, the San Antonio Toll Party. To prevent the double taxation of our freeways and to promote non-toll transportation solutions, this year she also launched a statewide nonprofit group, Texans Uniting for Reform and Freedom, committed to educating and defending citizens for this new shift tolling and privatizing of our public highways. Okay, Terry, would you like to fill us in a little bit more on what you're doing with this group?
Oh, absolutely. As you stated, we as citizens realized in attending some of these public hearings being put on by the Texas Department of Transportation, quickly realized that it was going to take grassroots organizing to really put a stop to this. I mean, meeting after meeting after meeting, we would go and give public comment for the legal record opposing the toll projects and what they were doing all over the state. And really what we found out since is they're doing this all over the country, and that's how it applies to you there in Colorado. But we just knew that they were just literally ignoring, you know, 95% of the public feedback on these projects and continuing to railroad this through. Now, let me just give you an idea of what's been going on, not just here in Texas, but there's been more than half the states have passed legislation to allow this very same thing to happen all over the country. And what happened was around the corner from my house, I found out that the main highway that I take just outside of San Antonio, Texas, was going to be converted into a toll road. Every single lane that we drive on today toll-free will be converted to a toll lane. It was a total double tax, you know, tax grab. All of us could see it, that it made no sense to turn around and toll a road that's already been built and paid for. And there are some improvements that are needed there. There's some stoplights in the middle of this rural divided highway, and they need to upgrade it with overpasses and make it a controlled access highway. Those are the technical terms, but that the improvements to that highway have been paid for with gas taxes since 2003, but they chucked the whole plan because now they decided, after conducting a few toll feasibility studies, that they could make a ton of money off this corridor, so now they were going to convert the whole thing into a toll road, you know, cherry-picking where they could make money all over town, and then use that toll money to then fund road projects elsewhere that those same users may never use. So a lot of times you'll hear Reason Foundation and some of these think tanks out there that are pushing this nonsense actually say, oh, this is a user fee, it's better than the gas tax because those that use the road are the ones that pay for it, and that's just not true, particularly when they're taking existing corridors and tolling them. This is totally a money grab where they are trying to use that money from those corridors to go fund other projects that they can't get funding for through gas taxes. And in this case, they already had the gas tax money. They're simply just, you know, trying to pilfer our pockets and get free access to them for the rest of our lives. And then the second thing that has been happening here in the state of Texas that is going to be unleashed on the rest of the country if we don't stop it here, and that's the Trans-Texas Corridor. It's been dubbed the NAFTA Superhighways. The technical term used by the federal government can be anything from a corridor of the future, or they call them high-priority corridors, But this is a massive tolled network of not just roads, but they call it a multimodal corridor that would include high-speed rail, commuter rail, freight rail, pipelines of all sorts, utilities, corridors, as well as truck and auto lanes, and really anything they want to make it to be. It would be up to 4 football fields wide and more than 3 times the size of any existing fully built-out interstate that's already built in this country. We're talking about a highway on steroids. And the whole thing is going to be put in the hands of a private foreign company. And all that money is going to be sucked out of the U.S. and Texas economy and go overseas somewhere in this absolute nightmare and scar across our country. And it's all about international trade and a new port that they're expanding on the west coast of Mexico that is really about getting all those goods, mostly Chinese goods, from that west coast port of Mexico into the United States through the state of Texas and then eventually up through into Canada. They want to do it cheaper. It's been identified that it might save these multinational corporations up to 20% on their transportation costs to do it this way. And they're going to bypass the east and west coast ports where there's, of course, American workers and replace them with Mexican workers down at this other port and, of course, save even more money that way. So it really is a land grab. It's got eminent domain abuse written all over it. It's a tax grab, in some cases a double tax because they're using existing alignments to do these types of superhighways. And no matter what, the citizens of this country have got to be educated on this issue and stand up and put a stop to it. And we have a lot of information on our website at texasturf.org. That's Texas, T-U-R-F, .org.
They've also gotten quite a bit of opposition from the locals in that state. I mean, it's not like the people down there ignoring what's going on. Is that correct?
That's very true. I mean, it's taken a lot of work to get people educated, but it's helped. What we did, just so that people know how where to start, because I know that's the overwhelming aspect. I know it was for me, is how do I, you know, get masses of people involved? Well, a federal law called the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA for short, requires that your state DOT, whether it's in Colorado or Texas or Florida or anywhere else, they have to follow this federal law whenever they're doing these types of road projects. So there's naturally going to be public hearings that are going to take place, particularly on these superhighways. They're going to take place all over your state, wherever this route is planned to go. And so we just parked ourselves at every one of these hearings for almost 3 years now, and we have a table outside. It's a public meeting, so you have the perfect right to do this, and we would gather names on petitions, and we would put together a fact sheet so that people understood that what they were being told by the Department of Transportation inside was not the facts, that they were literally propagandizing to push this thing down people's throats and trying to quell the opposition by trying to call the truth a myth and really mislead the public. And so that's how we started organizing people, and there were over 28,000 comments on the Trans-Texas Corridor 69 project that were opposed to that project, and over 14,000 on the Trans-Texas Corridor 35 project. So we've had massive amounts of people turn out to oppose this, and yet the governor of Texas continues to ram this through over the loud opposition of the public. And in fact, we found out last summer that our Department of Transportation has been conducting a propaganda ad campaign, hiring PR and marketing firms with our taxpayer money against the law for a political purpose of promoting these types of toll roads, and particularly these privatized, what they call public-private partnership contracts. And just to give you a little idea of what that means and what makes it so egregious is that this is where the private entities, these foreign corporations, are teaming up with government, exploiting government's unique powers of eminent domain to condemn people's private property and steal their land from them, pay them next to nothing for it. We all know that no one's getting market rate for their land on these types of road projects. They call it in the name of public use, only to hand it over to a foreign company who's given a guaranteed rate of return on their investment for the next 50 to 75 or even 99 years. We've seen some of these leases being signed for that long. And they're allowed to have these non-compete agreements that basically prohibits the government from expanding or building any new freeways or any other roadways that would potentially compete with their toll revenues. They have these expensive buyback arrangements so that if the government says this is not working out, you're increasing the tolls higher than what people want,
and they're really
big, aren't
they?
If you want to buy this road back, they can literally charge the Texas taxpayers for the future loss of toll revenue in some of these agreements. I mean, they're literally writing themselves sweetheart deals. The concession agreements in particular are very dangerous because it allows these private operators to determine all the hotels, restaurants, and gas stations that will be on this private captive audience toll road that's supposed to be a public road but is truly under the control of this private entity who is already been determined by public testimony to cost the taxpayers at least 50% more than if the government did it alone.
And this isn't just one or two. They have a bunch of them in the works. Is that correct?
Yes. It's actually a 4,000-mile network of tolled trade corridors all over the state of Texas, and they roughly parallel the current interstate system here in Texas, which makes no sense when you think about it. If you go from one urban city to another in Texas, like let's say between San Antonio and El Paso, for instance, on I-10, you don't hit any traffic. You don't even hit the brakes. You hardly see any cars, maybe some trucks transporting goods, but you hardly see anybody between San Antonio and El Paso. Much of the same is true between San Antonio and Houston and, you know, all these other urban areas. And yet they're going to go build a parallel tolled corridor to all of our existing interstates, when it makes no sense who's going to take a toll road, you know, 35 or 40 miles away from a free interstate highway when there's no traffic on the interstate that parallels these tolled corridors. Well, the way that they're trying to do it, and that's what our lawsuit has come out trying to stop the Texas Department of Transportation from spending our taxpayer money on this ad campaign to promote these toll projects and the Trans-Texas Corridor and these public-private partnerships. Well, one of the things we found out through that lawsuit is that they actually, our Department of Transportation here, actually put together a formal report that lobbied Congress directly, which is also against the law. We are not to have state agencies, federal agencies, or any government agency use taxpayer money to lobby against the taxpayers. And that's exactly what they did. But this report showed that they planned to buy back existing interstate highways from the federal government and then turn around and slap tolls on them. That would be the only way they could make these Trans-Texas Corridor trade routes fly and to make them financially doable, and that is if they take all of our existing freeway system, whether it's an interstate or a state highway, and convert them into toll roads as well, so that every place you go to get from one, you know, point A to point B will eventually become a toll road. In fact, the former Transportation Commission chairman here, Rick Williamson, actually stated that in the press. He said that in your lifetime, most existing roads will be toll roads. Mm-hmm. And that ought to put shivers down everybody's spine, because at a time where we are now facing $4 a gallon for gas and rising, how on earth will people come up with the money to pay a 25-cent or 45-cent toll per mile? This isn't like traditional turnpikes. So, you know, a lot of folks have had toll roads, you know, in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and parts of Oklahoma and, you know, elsewhere around the country have been used to traditional turnpikes over the years. But what they're doing now, this new policy and shift to tolling, does not look the same as these traditional turnpikes have. Those were brand new corridors. Everybody knew it was a toll road going in. If you were a retail business, for instance, you wouldn't locate along a toll road, naturally, because people wouldn't want to pay extra to get on and off this toll road to patronize your business. So you'd locate elsewhere. But now they're literally taking existing corridors that are already built and paid for, where businesses already exist, retail businesses, and where residents have decided to plant roots and where people have decided where they're going to live and work, and now they're going to come and do a bait and switch and convert all these things into toll roads and literally have a government takeover of our freedom to travel. And this is happening all over the country. And I believe it's I-70 there that's under threat of this very same public-private partnership kind of a deal where they're going to convert that existing interstate into these toll roads.
And they'll use excuses that, you know, they're going to, you know, like you said, it will cut down on traffic and that sort, but I don't see how that it could, other than the fact that it's pricing people off the road.
That is exactly right. This is about, toll roads don't solve congestion. Let's call it what it is. They are manipulating congestion for profit. And it's all about, like you said, it is pricing people off the road in order to control congestion rather than building, expansion or adding capacity where we need it or giving people options outside of taking their personal vehicles to get to work, giving them other options, whether it's public transit or some other way, to get people where they need to go. But this is the most insidious form. It is the highest form of taxation, the most unaffordable, and it's very regressive. It will hit those at the bottom end, whether it's the poor and the middle class, that will be hit the hardest because they can least afford these toll roads. And, you know, here we've had some of our supporters dub them Lexus lanes because those are the only people that are going to be able to afford to use these roads. And we're literally creating a two-tiered highway system. We are having one set of efficient highway standard interstate, you know, grade roads for those that can afford tolls, and those that cannot will be relegated to second-class citizens on access roads, frontage roads, and neighborhood streets. And that's the unintended consequences here. When those cars get priced off that freeway that's now become a tollway, those cars have to go somewhere. And that means that your neighborhood streets are going to be clogged up with a nightmare of all these extra cars that really belong on the freeway but have been priced off that freeway, and now you've got high-speed throughway traffic competing with moms dropping their kids off to school in the morning. This makes no sense. In fact, one of our state senators here, I should say U.S. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, actually entered into the congressional record a number of years ago some of this data, and when they tried to toll a road near a residential area in Ohio, they found that accidents tripled and that, that neighborhood traffic tripled and accidents went up by 19%. So that shows that they're literally making our highways less safe and making our surface streets more congested by doing this. And it makes no sense. It's really all about the money. And we found that to be true when we've, you know, dug up the records. It just shows. I mean, the road lobby is alive and well. They're stuffing our politicians' campaign coffers with gobs of donations. You know, whether you want to call it hush money or bribe money, whatever, that's how they continue to get reelected into these offices despite the public opposition. And they know it, that they're going to side with the big money every time. And, you know, the taxpayers are the ones who are left holding the bag. Because we can't offer them, you know, season tickets to their favorite sports team and cruises for them and their wife like lobbyists can. And that's what it comes down to. All we can do is bring this to the ballot box. And we have thrown out a few tollers at the ballot box, and I know in Indiana they've done the same. In fact, the legislature there went from Republican to Democrat control in the House in Indiana after the Indiana governor, Mitch Daniels, turned around and tried to, and did, sell off the Indiana toll road to two foreign companies, Sintra and Macquarie. Sintra is a Spanish-based company, and Macquarie is an Australian-based company. They have toll projects all over the globe, and Sintra is known as the most expensive toll operator in the country or in the world. So Indianans are already going to have their toll rates doubled this year alone.
Well, from my understanding, too, with that corridor, there's not a lot of on and off ramps on that thing.
No, there's not.
And so if you, say, like the toll road split your farm, you might have to travel quite a ways to get to the other side of your property.
Yes, ma'am, that is very true. There's a major concern of farmers and ranchers in these rural areas where they're planning to put these corridors will bisect their land, and not just a farmer's land, but entire communities. For instance, if you're in a little town, like there's one out near us called St. Hedwig, a little city, I'm sure it has less than 1,000 people population. If you have a school child on one side of this corridor because of its sheer size, being 1,200 feet wide and only five planned exits in the entire state of Texas for this particular corridor, you would potentially have to go 30 minutes out of your way to find the nearest overpass where it intersects a current state highway or interstate, and then go all the way back down to where your child's school is on the other side of this corridor.
That's kind of like putting up a Berlin Wall, huh?
Oh, absolutely, and really it's even worse. And in fact, we've even had, this is what's been so interesting, is it's brought together people of all political stripes. So you got left and right and everybody in between, environmental groups working with anti-tax groups and, you know, immigration reform people and people from all different political stripes, union people working with conservatives. And, I mean, it's just crazy, but it just shows that this isn't about party. This is about people, and this is about us losing our freedom to travel. And one of the things we found is that the Texas Wildlife Association is adamantly opposed to this. In their studies of this corridor, they found that it will literally change animal migration patterns, because wildlife will not be able to traverse across this highway either. It will literally change everything about the state of Texas, and it will affect everybody, whether or not their land is the one being taken, because for generations we will have to pay back this tremendous debt and pay homage to this foreign company for the rest of our lives and our kids and our grandkids' lives, and all for what? So that, you know, the Texas governor and the Indiana governors can get their names on a road? It makes no sense. In fact, we've had studies from academic institutions here in Texas that show we do not need the Trans-Texas Corridor, and, in fact, that we don't need to toll a single road in the state of Texas to meet our future highway needs. And yet on they march with 87 new toll projects announced just last year. You know, there's a total disconnect between our elected leadership and we the people in this country. And it's going to take a huge grassroots uprising to stand up, educate ourselves, and say, no, you are not going to do this to us.
If we don't, I mean, the thing is if you guys lose, it's coming to everybody else's state.
You're kind of
like
will.
Yeah, it's kind of like the pilot state. This is written. This is their plans. They've got their maps on the internet. So, you know, it isn't like it's going to go away either.
And they're also, like, going state by state, like here in Colorado, I-70. They actually tried to pass something last fall in regard to having it a toll road just in heavy traffic time periods. I don't know how they were going to arrange that. But why haven't they invested in any United States companies in regard to doing this rather than going to foreign suppliers?
Well, that's kind of the million-dollar question, I think. A lot of people are scratching their heads wondering the very same thing. And, in fact, there is starting to be more of a push to get American companies, because there's been such a backlash to the foreign management of our infrastructure. But we're finding that the American companies are just as corrupt in how they're dealing with this. They are writing themselves 50-year monopolies on our public infrastructure, and whether it's a foreign company or a domestic one, this is a taxpayer ripoff, and it's going to control our freedom to travel and take away our freedom to travel and put it in the hands of these private companies, where, again, there's been sworn testimony here in Texas that shows that these types of toll projects will cost the taxpayers a minimum of 50% more than if it just stayed a government toll project.
I need to make
a public toll project.
Okay, I need to state this is KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, streamed on the internet at khen.org, and our program is archived at www.giveyousometruth.info, and it is, I guess, 10:02 here. Somebody put it as the 2202, so I have to convert it. So anyways, we're back to our program with Truth Quest, and we have our guest is Terry Hall, and my co-host is Katie O'Brien.
So Terry, in regard to them, like, blocking these roads to where people can't afford them, do you think there is some underlying reason why they don't want people on the roads? Because if you've got highways now, they're going to change them to tolls and people won't be on them. What is the benefit in putting up the toll roads?
It's really about international trade. It's about shipping goods from the West Coast port of Mexico. There's already a plan underway with Walmart and the Chinese government. They are expanding a deep water port on the West Coast of Mexico called Lorenzo Cardenas. And it is the main port that they now want to bring the majority of our international goods through, that port, and bypass the East and West Coast ports that have American workers. And they want to bring those goods up through Mexico because, of course, they have cheaper labor. And they want to use these tolled roads so that they can price autos off and basically make them truck-only roads and be able to transport goods to market much faster than they can by going to the East and West Coast ports and bringing them into the interior of the country. Eventually, they plan to connect all of this to Canada. It's been designated that, like, for instance, the Trans-Texas Corridor 69 project used to be what was called the Interstate 69 project. For more than 30 years, they've been promising an interstate highway through the 69 area that they've mapped out for it to be through this section. It would basically start in Mexico, come up through Laredo, Texas, around the west side of Houston, up through Texarkana, eventually up through Indiana, and it would destinate in Port Huron, Michigan, on up into Canada. And they've called this, you know, corridors 18 and 20 are the official congressional designations for this road. But here in Texas, and we're sure outside of Texas, they've now made it into these NAFTA superhighways, where there'll be a tolled privatized corridor that isn't about, you know, relieving congestion in urban areas like we've been told. It's all about international trade to benefit multinational corporations. And, of course, there's a lot of implications to that. There's a lot of backlash now in the manufacturing community, the U.S. manufacturing community. So many of the jobs have been outsourced overseas. There's problems with American workers losing jobs, not just in manufacturing, but in many industries because of being undercut by Chinese goods and, you know, other countries' labor taking the place of our workers. So there's a lot of unions that are very opposed to this. Environmental groups are opposed to it for obvious reasons with this massive amount of pavement that they have planned to scar not just Texas but all over the country. And you have anti-tax folks that are, you know, involved and people that are just about liberty and freedom that just can see this as a government, the land grab and eminent domain abuse of the very worst kind. So it's brought together an interesting group of people, but, you know, make no mistake, this is about international trade.
So are you tying this in with the North American Union then? Are they even approaching that aspect of it?
Absolutely. I do believe it's all tied together. If your listeners have ever taken the time to read Jerry Corsi's book, The Late Great USA, The Coming Merger with Mexico and Canada, it lays it out and connects the dots very well about just taking government documents and connecting the dots for the public. It's all out there for anybody to see and to have your eyes open to what's really going on.
Now, we've had Jerome Corsi on. We've also had Deneen Peterson on. So
great.
Yes.
So then your listeners are very savvy to the subject then, but you bet that these corridors and these NAFTA superhighways are very connected. It's about economic integration of the North American countries. There's no doubt about it. And it's interesting that another aspect of what we found out throughout this process, and unfortunately Texas has opened the floodgates to this for other states to adopt the same types of policies, but there was a huge fight in our legislature last year. We have our legislature here in Texas only meets every other year, so we had a session last year and we'll have another one next year. And in the big battle we had last year, there was a huge push to put a moratorium on these public-private tolled roads, whether it was the corridor or any other urban toll roads they were planning to privatize. And what we found, what got unleashed in this bill, we did manage to get a bill on the governor's desk with what we thought was a veto-proof majority. More than two-thirds of each house of the legislature voted for this bill and would have put a very strong message out there that these private operators just need to pick up their stakes and get out of Texas because we don't want you here. Well, that got vetoed by our belligerent governor, who is actually very hated by the people of Texas at this point, and he's just literally destroying his own party, the Republican Party, and taking a whole lot of politicians off a cliff with him. And he vetoed that bill and then advanced a compromise bill that put in some very damaging language. And it was called market valuation. And this stuff was conceived in the minds of some of these libertarian think tanks like Reason Foundation, like Cato Institute. And I'm a conservative, just so if people wonder what my political background is, I'm unfortunately having to attack my own party here. But nonetheless, these think tanks put out there these types of ideas where now, even on a public toll project, whether or not you have a Sintra or a Macquarie or one of these foreign companies coming in to do the road, even if it stays in the hands of the government tolling authorities, they now mandate by state law that they have to analyze, have a Wall Street firm like your J.P. Morgan's or Goldman Sachs or HNTB or some of these other groups like Citigroup and stuff, they will come out and determine what they say is the quote-unquote market value of that toll road. So now the mentality is, why charge 9 cents a mile when we can make 20 cents a mile? This is literally finger-in-the-wind taxation, and it's whatever the market will bear, quote-unquote, and they're just going to charge you up the wazoo whatever they think they can make off the road. Well, now even the public tolling entities have found a way to cut out the private entities, which is the most controversial part of some of these urban toll projects, and the corridor for that matter. And now they can sell bonds, public bonds, up front for the amount of market value they've determined they can squeeze out of this road. So let's say the road itself would take $300 million to build that road. Well, now they're going to sell $1 billion worth of toll revenue bonds up front and use all that excess cash, that extra $700 million, to go build roads in some other corridor. So they're taxing one to pay for another one. It's a big, fat Robin Hood scheme, and it's taxation run amok. And I'm telling you, it will mean the highest possible toll tax. And it's no longer going to be what we've seen on some of these turnpikes where you throw in $3 and go 100 miles. It's not going to be that way. This is a charge-by-mile scheme, extremely oppressively expensive. And with the non-compete agreements in place where there will be no competing freeways or any expansion of your surface streets during the whole life of these contracts, that means you will have very few alternatives other than toll roads to get around. And it's very insidious public policy. It's horrible transportation policy. It's not about getting people out of congestion. It's about government profiteering. And our government public agencies are not there to make a profit. But this market valuation, market-based tolling, is now destroying that and turning government into a profit-making center at the expense of the taxpayers. And what makes that so dangerous is these are monopolies. You know, there's only one I-70. It's not like you guys can go, you know, get together and go build yourself another interstate. You know, if you wanted to build a private road, you'd have to pay everybody a fair market value and get every landowner to sell to you at a price that they can't refuse, and then convert it to, you know, turn it into a private road and then charge a toll to pay back for your investment. But that's not what they're doing. They're exploiting the condemnation powers through eminent domain of the government, the unique powers of government, to be able to steal people's land essentially, pay them nothing for it, and turn it over and make a profit, hand over fist, at the expense of private property rights and our freedom to travel. It's outrageous.
So it's kind of capitalism hiding under another cloak.
It really is, because it's not free market. I mean, when we go down the potato chip aisle of our grocery store, you can choose a whole array of brands and types of potato chips. That's free market with competition in place. There is no competition. In fact, they're signing these agreements with a non-compete agreement, meaning there will be no competition from any other free roads built during the life of that contract. I mean, this is extortion money is what it is. It's certainly not capitalism.
Right. And it isn't just, you know, with highways. This is just the beginning of what they've got in their plans to pass out these kind of concessions. It's going to happen in our national parks. It's going to happen in our commons in many, many different ways.
That's true. Public-private partnerships have really starting to take hold. And unfortunately, in states where Republicans have been in leadership, for instance, Jeb Bush over in Florida, when he was governor there, had plenty of time to implement public-private partnerships. They've had these, we can call them PPPs for short. They've done a lot of different things where they've handed over aspects of government to the private sector using a PPP, like, you know, child welfare services or, you know, other government agencies. A lot of times they want to sell off, like here in Texas, our governor wants to sell off our lottery system to a private entity, so again they can jack up the price and make a ton of money for the private company, but at the same time, you know, deliver very little to the taxpayers in these monopolies. So it's a nightmare for the taxpayer. Some of these might work in other areas, but certainly with public infrastructure, there's no doubt about it. This is going to impact every person, whether you take the road or not. we've already seen how increasing in fuel prices, even if you've been driving less, the price you pay for food has skyrocketed because all of those costs that our truckers and, rail and shipping and all those costs that have gone up because of the cost of fuel going up, all of that now gets passed on to the consumer. You know, those companies can't eat the cost. They pass that on to us. So we're going to pay more, exorbitantly more for transportation costs if these toll plans go through unchecked.
Well, and water's going to be another one they're working on.
Yeah,
so,
water has already doubled here in Colorado Springs. That's
wow.
It's been nuts. But what can we do in an effort to stop this or maintain it just in Texas and get it stopped in Texas? Because I'm already concerned about the I-70 thing here because they're going to cram it down our throats.
That's right.
By any means they can, and I feel a little helpless in regard to what I can do or encourage others to do to stop this infraction.
Right. Oh, I agree. And we felt the same way, very much so, felt panicked that, you know, how do we stop this? How do we organize in time? But there's a couple of things you can do. First of all, we would encourage people, if you want to get tied into what we're doing here at Texas Turf, to please sign up for our email alerts right on our website. It's at texasturf.org, texasturf.org, and you can kind of see what we're doing. And then the second thing would be, it's really important for you to find out the process by which transportation decisions are being made. It's probably very similar from state to state because there's federal laws that mandate certain things that they have to follow. So my guess would be the best place you can put the most pressure to stop any kind of road project coming through your area is to go to your local boards first. Every municipality over about 70,000 people in urban areas will have something called a Metropolitan Planning Organization. They're called MPO for short. And what you can do is just look up on the internet under your city or county area and find out when your MPO meets. And you can also ask through open records requests or just try and get a friendly person on the phone from the MPO. They all have a paid staff, full-time executive director usually, even though the MPOs are pretty much run by elected officials, local city councilmen and county commissioners, for instance. There's usually a full-time staffer that kind of runs things in between meetings. And what you do is you find out if I-70, for instance, has been put in an MPO long-term plan, if it's been designated to be converted as a toll road. And what you can do is you go pressure that board, show up at these meetings, get some other folks to go with you, get some HOAs in the planned corridor, you know, the homeowners associations, any kind of citizens group. A lot of good places to go are retirees. A lot of our seniors have time. They might lack transportation ability, you know, to get around or don't like to drive at night or whatever. So there's some of those hurdles we have to overcome. But a lot of them are able to take the time to come to these meetings. And what's so great about seniors that everybody knows is they vote. And they scare politicians to death because they vote. And so that's another area that we've tried to tap is a lot of retirees that will come to these meetings. And get your homeowners associations and such, like I mentioned, and you pressure these boards to rescind their vote to convert that interstate into a toll road. Because even though it's a federal interstate and a lot of these plans are coming down from federal and state government decisions, your local MPO board still has to put it in their long-term plan and approve it to become tolled through your community. So that's the best place that we can exert the most pressure first. Then, if there's been some state laws that have been passed, like you might ask your MPO people, you know, go to these transportation policy boards and find out, you know, what authority do you have to convert an existing road or an existing interstate into a toll road? Show me the law. Cite it for me. Give me the section and the chapter number. I want line by line where you get the authority to do this. Then you know what state laws have been passed, when they passed, who passed them, get their record vote. Usually that's available online at most state legislatures online. You can find out their record vote and who voted for what. Then you start contacting those politicians and you start pressuring these people. And go to any of the hearings. I mean, they have to follow the federal law, NEPA, that says they have to do public hearings on these projects and make the public aware of what they're going to do, including how they're going to finance the road. And a lot of times they try to avoid. I mean, we've caught them doing this where they will do anything but say they're going to toll the road. But we know exactly what they're doing with the road. So sometimes they're real tricky, especially once they know the public's on to them. But you still, you know, confront them with the evidence you have from the government documents, because they're there. This is all in government documents. You just have to unearth it. And then you start working at the state legislature to change those laws if laws need to be changed. The big thing is getting aware and getting a website and some kind of bare bones way for you to communicate over the Internet and have people, you know, sign up and communicate by email or a Yahoo group or a Meetup group. You know, there's lots of ways through the Internet that you can utilize it to communicate quickly with people, get them out of these meetings, and when you go to these meetings, have a table out front. They cannot forbid you from doing that. It's a public meeting paid for with taxpayer money, and you have the right to petition and to redress the government for grievances, and you can take sign-ups, you know, get people's names and phone numbers and find out if they're willing to help volunteer. Have monthly meetings if you need to keep people up to date and get your plan of action in place. But you start really at the local level is where you can exert the most power initially, because it's a lot harder to get a whole state legislature or the federal government, certainly, to try and do anything that people want. So that would be my suggestion of how you can kind of, you know, move forward and map out a plan of action to put a stop to this nonsense.
Have you used
that? That was excellent.
Have you used any of the movie Truth Be Told by Bill Molina for your...
Oh, of course, yes. Bill was, he's wonderful. He is a true patriot who happened to hear me debate our Texas Department of Transportation in his community. It was for a proposed toll project in, you know, his neck of the woods. And when he found out, I mean, literally how egregious this stuff is, you know, and how the evidence just shows that this is nothing more than a money grab, how it destroys communities. It's going to, in this particular case, it was going to, like, asking this community to sign on to becoming a blighted community. They wanted to put this huge 23-foot-high elevated toll road over existing homes, businesses, schools, and churches. It made no sense. It was going to be a huge scar in that community and was going to kill the business community because there would be no exits on the thing. So all of the sales tax base for this little city was going to be completely dried up. And, you know, when he just was appalled that there was no media attention paid to this at all, with any detail at all. You know, they just give you the 10-second sound bites that you get on the evening news that just show, well, here's what the Department of Transportation is doing, and here's a few citizens that are objecting, but they don't go into the issues. They don't go into all of these egregious things and the true impacts to our communities and the cost to people. And so he put together a movie. He is a professional filmmaker, and he had that tool available to him. He's a wonderful cinematographer. He's award-winning. He's been Emmy-nominated, and the Truth Be Told documentary did make the top documentary in the Houston Film Festival last year. So, I mean, it's very, very well done, very professional. And he wanted to document and highlight and educate people as to what is happening in our country and how the taxpayers had better wake up before it's too late. So you bet we use, you know, Bill's movies, and we actually helped him get his website, which is truthbetold.com, truth, B-E, and then T-O-L-L-E-D.com, Truth Be Told. It's like a play on the word toll, of course. Instead of T-O-L-D, it's T-O-L-L-E-D. And he's actually done several films and plans to do more as the story unfolds here in Texas and around the country. And there's lots of ways we can do that. I mean, YouTube is another fantastic way. We have now gotten into the practice of videotaping all of these public hearings. If I can't be there, we have somebody else that can be there to videotape. And we put up little links of it on YouTube, and we send it out in our email blast and show people with their own eyes the arrogance of these political elites that are cramming this stuff down our throats, what they're actually saying, how it's a huge ripoff and they know it, and they just don't care. It shows how they thumb their nose at people. We've actually caught them in the act of admitting breaking the law. You know, it's helped us in our court cases. And at the end of the day, depending on where in the process these toll projects are, like the I-70 project, I wish I knew a little more so I could help. I'm happy to do that with y'all off the air if I can be helpful. after the show, and that is, depending on where it's at in the NEPA process, it's going to be harder and harder for you to stop it the further along it is. And ultimately, some of these projects will only be able to be stopped in court. You may have to drag them into court with litigation to actually be able to stop it, because I can almost guarantee you they have not followed the law dot and tittle. They are perpetually breaking the law here in Texas and how they're doing it. We know other DOTs are doing it, too, because they're skirting around the corners to rush through these projects. They want to get these toll contracts signed before the public wakes up to what's happening.
Are there
and
any groups out there that are actually formed, like, say, the ACLU, that would specialize in these issues?
Well, you would hope that there would be. I know we've always been looking for a national group that we can rally with on this issue. We have some local chapters of the ACLU that have been helpful and offered some legal help. But there's also Judicial Watch on the more conservative end of the spectrum that is famous for shining the light on the corruption of government and agencies that have run amok. So there are some national legal groups that may be willing to take on some of these, more egregious cases. But we have found that the best place to go is to start at the local level. It is a whole lot easier for you to toss out a city councilman or a county commissioner than it will ever be to try and get rid of a U.S. congressperson or a U.S. senator, and in a lot of cases even our state legislators. So that's what this is about. You know, it's about accountability to the taxpayers. It's about reminding them of who needs to be in the driver's seat on transportation policy decision-making. The taxpayers are perfectly well-informed enough to know how we ought to fund our roads. And if you want to just compare briefly, like in Texas, we have a 20-cent per gallon gas tax. On a federal level, we all pay 18.4 cents per gallon. So here in Texas, it's 38.4 cents we pay for a gallon of gas. That's what our tax is. And that works out to be about 1 to 3 cents a mile, depending on your fuel efficiency of your car. It's about 1 to 3 cents. Well, the minimum toll start rate will be 25 cents or more a mile. We're talking about more than 20 times more than we're paying right now. Now you tell me what the taxpayers are going to choose: a gas tax solution, or they're going to pick the most affordable and the cheapest, and that's going to be a gas tax solution. I mean, they do not need to toll these roads. This is all about government control of our freedom to travel. They want to manipulate and tinker with your morning commute by what you said originally. They want to take and do something called congestion pricing. That's what that is, when they want to change the toll rate and do it only during peak hours. That's congestion pricing. You can look that up on the Internet and find out all kinds of horrible information on that stuff. But all of this, I mean, think about it. Why should the government tell you when you can and can't travel? Why should they be able to price any citizen off of a public road? I mean, who gives them the right and the authority to do this?
Well,
and your state legislature, and their politics run amok. We have got to take our government back.
Right, and obviously they haven't been reading our Constitution lately on the freedom of travel.
For sure, we can pretty much be assured of that.
And the really interesting part about that, too, is the fact that okay, so now they price it up to that point. So why would Centra want the roads when we can't even afford to drive them anymore? It doesn't make any sense. It's just totally...
It's a real boondoggle, and in fact, we have some studies that showed some toll feasibility studies that were done by some of these Wall Street type companies that actually said a year or so ago that if gas ever got at or above $3 a gallon, that these roads would no longer be toll feasible.
Well,
they'd go financially belly up, and here we are at $4 a gallon, and they're still racing to toll all these roads. There will not be enough people that have the discretionary income level to be able to ante up $12 a day to go to work.
Well, the interesting
part—that's like $3,000 a year in new toll taxes. Your average family does not have that kind of money per commuter.
Did they even design public transportation on those? I don't believe so.
No. And
that's the real irony.
We're woefully behind on public transit. We are woefully behind. People are very wedded to their trucks and very highway dependent here in Texas. So if they start tolling these highways, I mean, you will literally have no way to get around. And what it's doing is it's forcing people to move closer and closer into the urban areas. We will see our farmers and ranchers disappear because they will no longer be able to economically sustain themselves. Most farmers and ranchers today are not like the big farms. They have to supplement their income by jobs in cities. So they live, you know, maybe 20, 30 or more miles outside of an urban area, and they farm. You know, they get up early, they get their cows fed and go work a whole day and then come back and you know, deal with the farm when they get home. You know, it is not easy for any of these folks, and the price of feed's going up because of the price of gas and ethanol and corn and all these other issues you all probably are aware of. And they're literally trying to force people into the cities as part of this. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with sustainable development and the Agenda 21 of the UN.
Right, and wilding of America.
Yeah. I mean, this is their plan. They want to get everybody into the urban areas so that the government can pretty much maximize their amount of control over our lives
and get control of the resources.
Yes, absolutely. They're going to exploit water and utilities, everything they can, from the rural properties to go service the urban centers, and they're going to try and get as many people into the big cities as they can for their own tinkering and social engineering and all their own political agenda that none of us ever got to vote on, that none of us are even, most people aren't even aware of this stuff, and they're just like lambs being led to the slaughter. And I'd encourage people to go to freedomadvocates.org if they want more information on sustainable development. It's an excellent website, freedomadvocates.org.
And Taking Liberty, if they want to get into some of Michael Kaufman's work on the wilding of America, which is, you know, socially engineering people into the population centers and getting them out of the rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry, I want to thank you for coming on the program. I really appreciate the information that you've provided this evening, and hopefully we can have you back again. And Katie, and then we're going to coming up next is going to be Janet Phelan. So,
we would love that. And if anyone wants more information or if I can be of help, just come visit me at texasturf.org. You can contact me through the website, and we're always delighted to help educate and awaken America to what's happening around us, and we've got to stop this and take our government back.
Thank you so much for all the work you've done on this. You have just been a wealth of information.
Yeah,
I hope
you.
So. Thanks so much, ladies.
Okay. Goodbye.